We're back on the air. This is Radio Entrepreneurs. My name is Jeffrey Davis. We're having just the best time. And if I'm having the best time, maybe I'm with one of my best buddies, Peter Meyerson from the law firm of Cohn, Rasnick, Meyerson, and Plout. Hi, Peter.
Hi, Jeff. It's great to be here.
Right. Thank you. Usually when I call you like a best buddy, you take a shot at me.
Why? Oh. I never do that.
You know, we had our next guest on about a month and a half ago, I'd say, 2 months ago. Really interesting guy, knows a lot about real estate, the real estate market, Bill McLaughlin from Avalon Bay Communities. Welcome back, Bill.
Hey, Jeffrey, thank you. Good to be here.
Thanks. You know, there's a lot going on in the real estate market. Can you tell us, can you give us an update?
Well, you know, specifically in Boston, right, we've had a great run since the Great Recession. And I think we'll look back in a few years and say those were the good old days. In particular, I think we've had a fantastic set of drivers for demand. The Boston economy has outperformed what people would have expected. And that has created a lot of great jobs for young people moving into the area. You combine that trend with the urbanization trend, which everyone's getting closer to transit, closer to downtown. People are a lot more concerned about their carbon footprint, and so they're living in more efficient buildings, smaller buildings, and that leads to, you know, a real renaissance in downtown Boston, Cambridge, Brookline, in terms of some really high-quality new residential developments, many of which have fantastic restaurant or entertainment space or retail space at the base. So it's really changed the face of the city in this cycle, certainly from a downtown perspective. Those trends have continued across the country, but I think Boston is one of the certainly top five or six cities in the nation in terms of, you know, that 24-hour full-on appeal. And so it is on the short list for these high-quality, well-educated younger people in terms of a place to relocate.
You know, I've always thought of Boston, especially in the East Coast, of one of those cities that actually maintained the urban center through the 60s and, you know, the suburb development. And you can really see it in the city, how livable it is, especially over the last 20 years as the city has become much more affluent.
I think that's been the driver. It feels safer. You know, people are moving back in from the burbs. So there's the younger folks who are sort of setting the table. But then there are a fair number of empty nesters who want to abandon the large house and the big tax bill and whatnot and move back into town as well.
But I also think, I also think that the European influx into Boston has changed the character of the city. As we've gotten educated Europeans, it's upgraded the restaurants, the character of the city, the diversity of the city. It's really, you know, I'm not originally from Boston. I came here in 1981. It's a totally different Boston today than it was back then.
There are only a handful of cities where you have that kind of immigration, high-quality immigration. Boston, certainly. San Francisco would be another.
Right.
Austin, Texas, interestingly
right.
enough.
Right.
Miami is dominated by the international crowd as well.
You know, but does this trend continue? I mean, I was walking around the South End or the waterfront area the other day, and, you know, my
with
wife...
The tin cup.
That's how I felt.
For a trip and fall, right?
That's how I felt, actually. You know, so I mean, you're talking about expensive housing. I mean, relatively speaking,
absolutely.
And there is nothing inexpensive in Boston. And does that lack of relatively affordable housing, what impact is that going to have on the city as a whole?
Well, that's a challenge, right? Most communities require some portion of new development to have an affordable level component. So that helps. The overall fact that we're adding to the housing stock helps, because if you think about it, I analogize it to new cars, right? A new Lexus is $97,000. Not everyone can afford it, but there are plenty of used Toyotas on the road. So every time you build a high-rise tower with $1 million condominiums or $3,000, $4,000 a month rents, that makes that old walk-up in Alston or Brighton that much cheaper, has to be more competitive in the marketplace as a result of just a growth in supply. The other thing that's really fueled this particular cycle has been really cheap money. And that is one of those items which causes us in the business to have some concern. You know, it's really easy to afford $1 million condo when your mortgage is 2.79% or whatever it may have been. You bump that up to 5% or some historical average, and the affordability really gets clobbered.
But you do get the tax deduction.
You do get the tax deduction.
You just have to be able to make the payments.
Yeah,
you just have to be able to make the
and
payments.
And qualify in the first place. I think the banks have been very slow to have the pendulum swing back to lending. That's been great for the rental business, which is what I'm in predominantly, but has really hurt the overall economy because the forced sale single-family and multifamily markets are a huge boost to the GDP. You know, if you think about the appliances and
but
all the other stuff that goes on.
It is so awful trying to get a mortgage.
Brutal. Absolutely brutal.
I've been approached so many times over the years, and I've just given up and said, you know what, I'll just take the interest rate I've got. It's not worth going through the process.
It's like getting divorced.
Right. You're right.
Never been divorced,
you're right.
This is
my,
second to your own death.
You're right. I think I had more documentation for my refinancing of my mortgage than I did for my divorce.
Right. Yeah, it's crazy.
I mean, it's kind of the way I've reacted to refinance. I mean, it's you don't want to really go through it.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, so do you see the market continuing to boom the way it is?
Well,
or do you see it?
I think we are, you know, people always use late innings, the back nine, whatever analogy you want to characterize it as. We are very much near the end or the top of a very strong market. I think what will topple the market in Boston is actually supply, not that demand will peter out. I would have told you I thought demand was going to peter out before the election. And since the election, I think that there's been a real charge in businesses. And there's a real strong argument that we could see 3% GDP growth. Job creation, got to reform immigration, but at the end of the day, that growth spurt could continue. But the flip side of it is that we've had very easy capital, lots of capital flowing into investment real estate, and at some point in time, we're going to need some discipline on the capital side to slow that down. But we are building more housing right now, at least in the multifamily sector, than we've built since the 70s. And it's just an
There's
amazing
There's not a lot
time.
Of room to build here.
Yeah, but it gets denser and denser. You'd be surprised. I mean, look at the
Cambridge.
older, you know, industrial spots or whatever, and there are plenty of places where people are redoing, reusing real estate and intensifying it. You know, we were talking earlier about the malls, right? I mean, the retail business is been turned on its head by Amazon and the others, and poorly located retail is dying a painful and slow death. Maybe
right.
not so slow.
Right.
But if you think about your typical mall, it is
some of those
at the corner
of
Main
placed.
And Main, and it's got great infrastructure. There's another use. You'll intensify some of that.
No, I was in a retail store yesterday in a strip mall that I know the guy well, and he was talking about the new malls that have sort of developed in the last 6 or 7 years that are just crushing those little strip malls.
Right, right. It's all lifestyle. It's entertainment.
They're destinations.
Destinations. It's restaurants. Things you can't get on the internet.
Right.
But the you know the run of the mill Macy's kind of thing. Those are opportunities for clever real estate folks and hopefully communities in which they're in, whether it's, you know, Chestnut Hill Mall or Burlington or Braintree, will be have the foresight to look for reuse opportunities for those spaces.
To recycle the Chestnut Hill Mall into housing?
Chestnut Hill Mall would be a great spot for housing.
Yeah, it would.
You know, I think that's actually one of the
Just
survivors.
Leave the Apple Store for me.
Yeah. Well, see, I think ultimately, you know,
the Apple Store.
It's more likely that you'll see newer generation retail tenants. It's one of the better spots, right? Yeah. But if you're the Hudson Mall or Silver City.
But we lost the mall across the street from the Chestnut Hill Mall, and then we got a new mall.
Yeah.
It's funny. One went away and one came and one came in.
Yeah.
So things have sort of, you know, it has a generational feel to the whole thing.
That's right. I think that's right.
Right.
Yeah. And then, you know, so the other sector that people ask about is the office sector. And, you know, Boston and Cambridge are clearly booming. Cambridge has a vacancy rate of, at least in East Cambridge, of practically 0%.
Right.
And it's biotech, it's all kinds of entrepreneurial businesses that are, some make it, some don't, but the ones that make it often explode. And you look at sort of that nexus we talked about the environmental consciousness, the urbanization, folks wanting to be back in the cities. There are these hubs of entrepreneurial, kindred spirits, which have generated amazing companies. That happens in very few places. But there, you know, you look at Chelsea and Brooklyn and New York. You certainly look at East Cambridge. Somerville is certainly in that category today. You look at
difference Somerville over 20 years ago.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. I think that some of the housing prices in Somerville are rivaling Cambridge, certainly ahead of Arlington and some of these Medford,
it's
some of these other
amazing.
Great towns.
When I first moved to Boston, I wouldn't go near Somerville. Right. And if I was 25 now, I'd move to Somerville.
All the kids want to be in Somerville. It used to be Brighton-Alston, now they all want to be in Somerville.
Right. It's just amazing.
But that's it.
Cleveland Circle still looks the same.
Yeah, they're getting there though. They're doing the assisted living on the old theater
Circle
site.
Theater.
Yeah.
But I would think that would be an area that, you know, it's time.
Yeah, no, there are a lot of tired buildings. Great transit, great connectivity
right.
to Brookline and to downtown. So you'd think over time that would
used to be a destination for me, but that was a long time ago.
Right,
Bill. If somebody wants to find you or you know contact you at Avalon Bay, how would they do that?
Best is always my email, which is billm@avalonbay.com.
I send Bill emails. He's a busy guy.
I am sure.
It's not like Peter. Peter gets back to you right away with a snappy response.
Well, he's a snappy guy.
He'll leave you two guys alone.
My name is Jeffrey Davis. We've been speaking with Bill McLaughlin of Avalon Bay Communities with Peter Meyerson from Konrasnik, Meyerson & Plough. Thanks, Peter.
Great to be here, Jeff.
Thanks, Bill. Bill, will you come back again and talk to us about real estate? We love real estate stories.
Great fun. I'd love to.
Great.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back after these messages on Radio Entrepreneurs.